All right, join me in welcoming our wonderful 10-minute speaker, Jim. Please.
I kind of am, so I do not go over. Good evening, everybody. My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very honored to be here. When I came into this room for the first time a little over almost a year and a half ago, I did not think I would have the opportunity to stand up here before you tonight and tell my experience, strength, and hope. But, you know, strange things happen when you let go of the wheel. And so anyway, my sobriety date is December 25th, 2022. My first drink was 1982. I was about 12 years old. And drank some vodka and OJ and watched Space Odyssey 2001 and ran in the ring. And it was glorious. And, you know, that started my my drinking career. I drank, you know, periodically through high school. Got a wet reckless and a hit and run right before I turned 18. And that was my first experience with the law and alcohol, and certainly at that time did not think I had any issues. It was a dumb mistake that I had made, and I moved on. And so anyways, ended up going to the military and continued drinking, but it was managed. And then I got out and moved to San Luis Obispo to go to college, and drinking continued and was still able to manage. And then I got married and started working locally in the water industry. And, you know, ultimately I drank for 40 years. And, you know, I've heard in these rooms that it was, you know, magic, maintenance, and then misery. And for me, a lot of the years were magic until the end. And, you know, as a young child, I had a very strict father, extremely strict. And, you know, I didn't realize until I got in these rooms that my whole life is based on fear, fear and acceptance. And, you know, I wanted my dad's approval, and I wanted to be liked by people. And, you know, by and large, I was more than willing to be whatever you wanted me to be liked. And so, you know, I just kind of floated through life. I was, you know, I was blessed enough to be able to handle a lot of things fairly easily. And so, you know, life didn't really become that complicated for me until probably the last 5 years. And my marriage was going south. I didn't have the courage to communicate effectively. I had the emotional sobriety of a 12-year-old. And, you know, I avoided everything. I didn't like conflict. I did not like to face life on life's terms. I was really scared to death of certain things that, you know, I suppressed. And, you know, alcohol for me was my Swiss Army knife. You know, I used it in good times. I used it in bad times. And, you know, it was my fix-all for a lot of things. And, you know, towards the end, my wife asked me to leave on my 61st birthday. And if you're new and you're in that position, my advice to you is to get in here and do the program. I did not do that. I gave her the middle finger and went and bought a hot rod and acted like I was 16 all over again. And so consequently on New Year's Eve, I rolled my car with a guy in the passenger seat and I got a DUI and went to jail. And so when I got into that jail cell, I spent 2 days in juvenile hall when I got my wet reckless when I was a teenager and never had any other interactions with the law between then and that Christmas Eve. And so I got to jail. I was supposed to have my daughters on Christmas morning. And I knew at that point that something had to change in my life. If I wanted my kids in my life, and I wanted to be able to look forward to the future, you know. Towards the end, after my marriage collapsed, I was losing hope. I wasn't to the point that I wanted to end it all, but I certainly, I felt like my better days were behind me. And, you know, I really was not looking forward to the future. And as I found out coming into these rooms, I spent a lot of time tripping about the past, and I spent a lot of time worrying about the future, and I did not spend much time living in the present and making the best of each day. And, you know, as a kid, I walked one day at a time. I saw the bumper stickers. I didn't have any idea what the heck that meant. And so when I was in jail, I got on my knees and I asked God for help. And I didn't grow up religious. I was an atheist most of my life. And, you know, in doing so, I got out of jail that night. I went home. My girls came over that morning, and I told them what happened. And the look on their faces was devastating. And so they left and went home to tell their mom, which validated all the reasons why she left me. And so my oldest daughter told me, "You're leaving, Dad. You should go to AA. There's a lot of nice people there." And so 2 days later, I walked into the Mesa group. And I didn't know anything about this program. I did know I lived in the village for 20 years. I knew that the Nelson Street, when I used to roll the stroller by that building years ago, there was a lot of guys on the sidewalk smoking cigarettes. That was about the extent of my knowledge. And so, anyways, I came into the room, and I sat down, and I started listening to people's stories. And, you know, in my mind, I still wasn't convinced I was an alcoholic. I'd never had the DTs. I had never gotten up in the morning and had to drink, you know, up to that DUI, never having run-ins with the law. I've always held a job, you know. In my mind, I'm not an alcoholic. And then I started listening, and the more I listened, the more I realized that I absolutely was an alcoholic. And, you know, I was an alcoholic before I ever took my first drink, you know, from when I was a kid. You know, I just really, really did not know how to deal with life on life's terms. And that's one of the things that I've learned in here is that, you know, facing each day that comes and, you know, and then realizing that burying all of the shit. You know, I lived two separate lives. You know, I lived the life I presented to the people around me, and then there was, you know, me on the inside. And, you know, after finding a sponsor within the first week, and he asked me a couple of questions, and we got to work. And, you know, by probably the third or fourth meeting, I knew this was the place for me. You know, I had heard enough, and to me, it felt like a way out, because my biggest fear was, how in the hell am I going to live my life and not drink? Whether that's going to the beach, or going to a concert, or going to a wedding, or going to races. You know, alcohol was so interwoven into every aspect of my social life, I thought it was going to be impossible to live happily without drinking. And so, you know, we got to work on the steps, and once I worked through step four, I went over to my sponsor's house, and we worked step five. And, you know, I felt a huge sense of relief. And for the first time in my life, I had kind of laid out on paper all the shit I'd kept buried for, you know, 50 years. And, you know, within 6 months, I got through the steps, and I sat down with my two daughters and made amends with them. I sat down with my ex-wife for 2.5 hours over coffee and made my amends to her. And, you know, I felt like I had a new lease on life. You know, I never thought I was going to be able to come to peace with what happened in my marriage. I was married for a little over 20 years. We were together for 26 years. And, you know, I just had a lot of fear about what my kids thought of me and, you know, what kind of life I was in. I used to have these visions of, you know, would my daughters want me present at their wedding? You know, those kind of things. And, you know, after coming to meetings and working those steps, and, you know, I truly believe that when I got on my knees in jail that night, God lifted my desire to drink, and I've not had that desire since that day. And, you know, as a result of working these steps, and, you know, I have a very strong morning spiritual breakfast, as my sponsor likes to call it. I get up. I never used to be a morning person, and I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I get on my knees and pray. I meditate, and I go to a morning meeting. And, you know, I've not had many bad days since then. I've had some bad days around me since then. I lost my grandmother last Christmas. I've got a couple friends with some severe health issues right now. And I truly believe that God has put me in this place to be able to handle those things and be able to help them out in these times and not make it all about me. You know, before I came into these rooms, it would have been, oh, woe is me, and why is this happening to me? And, you know, today I try to get back wherever I can. I've had the opportunity to take another man through the steps, and I'm working with another gentleman right now. And, you know, I go to about 10 meetings a week, and, you know, at the end of the day, I take my inventory, I journal every night, and I get on my knees and pray. And, you know, I can't tell you how many years I had to be altered to go to bed. And today, I say my prayers, I crawl in bed, and I lay my head on that pillow, and I go to sleep. And so, you know, if you're fairly new, you know, I'm still fairly new at this, but, you know, this program has just given me a completely new lease on life. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this room that I consider friends that I see almost daily, and it's a beautiful fellowship, and I just hope that I can in some way give back what has been so freely given to me. So I'm going to read something here real quick, and I'll get out of here. We have been speaking to you of serious, sometimes tragic things. We have been dealing with alcohol in its worst aspects, but we aren't a glum lot. If newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. We try not to indulge in cynicism over the state of nations, nor do we carry the world's troubles on our shoulders. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's give Jim another round of applause.